You're listening to A Midlife Less Ordinary, the weekly podcast giving you the lowdown on becoming a cool older dude. The good times are not a faded memory. It's time to start living them again. And here are your hosts, Wayne and Trev.
Hello and welcome to A Midlife Less Ordinary. I'm Wayne and Trev's here as always.
Yep, I'm back again.
And this is Season 1, Episode 12. Yep, I know what you're going to say. There isn't a Season 1, Episode 12. You said last week, Episode 11 was the last one, and now we're going to get some interviews. Well, I'm sorry, you're still going to get the interviews, just not today, because I'm going to let Trev explain that. Trev?
Well, basically, we got to the point, we thought it was finished. We were like looking at the new season, thinking interviews next, blah, blah. And then Wayne and I had a conversation about what A Midlife Less Ordinary was about. And we didn't really feel like we'd sort of summed it up because A Midlife Less Ordinary has become Wayne and I doing this show. Not really what we intended it to be like. We intended to come out at the start and it was going to be about what middle-aged people, how they could find another lease of life. But it's sort of morphing into something different, which we really like. I'm a big fan of that. And that has just become us. The name has become Wayne and I hosting a podcast. So we thought, as a sort of bookend, as a finish to it, we talk about this subject that Wayne and I have often spoke about over the years as we've got a bit older. And it's about sort of mortality, isn't it, Wayne, basically?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we've entitled the episode Making the Most of Your Life, Who Wants to Live Forever? Because what it's about basically is just living your best life and how we try to do it. We're not saying that we're experts and we're the best at everything and we've got everything we could ever want in the world. But what we're saying is make sure you're happy with your lot. And if there's something you can do about your life, if there isn't something, you know, you're not happy about, then do something about it. Expand that comfort zone and do more with your life. And that's what Midlife Less Ordinary has become. And this is what Trev and I envisage for it moving forward. We want to inspire people to take on more for themselves, enjoy themselves more, and take on more. And that's the interviews in season two. Hopefully them people passionate about their subjects will inspire you to do something else.
Yeah, basically, you summed it up correctly there, Wayne. It's very easy. And don't get me wrong, we're not having a pop at anybody. We're not kind of saying you should do something, get out there and play football, run around the block, do this. What we're saying is don't let the humdrum of life take over. Basically, if you want to do something, go and do it. Don't wait for something to happen to do what you want to do. You hear so many people say, oh, I'll do that once I've got the money for it or once that's out of the way. The thing is, with the whole thing that's just gone on with COVID, and we don't want to talk about that, but it's part of our lives now, is it does show you that you're not around forever. You know, I understand, as I said, about the money thing, which is probably the wrong way of putting it, you know, because obviously you've got to have money to do certain things. But don't be scared to go and do what you want to do. This is the reason why now I've done this podcast, because you get to a certain age and it is so easy if you're happy to do that and just go home. But if you're not happy with it, then search it out. Go and, because nothing comes free to anybody, does it, Wayne? That's the thing. It's
Life isn't going to come to you. Life, if you're sitting around thinking that your life's just going to change because your lottery numbers are going to come in, probably, I mean, you've got that 1 in 16 million chance or whatever it is. But
yeah, there is always that chance.
It's not likely to happen.
No.
But you can make changes to your life. And this was explained to me. I've explained it to Trevor before, and I'll just quickly explain how it was said to me. About 18 years ago, in what I thought was going to be a terrible sales presentation by somebody who was teaching us to be good salespeople, basically. And I was like, yeah, okay, well, I'm getting paid for it. So, you know, we'll sit here and listen. And this person was talking about the comfort zone. And the comfort zone is where we exist mainly in, you know, feeling comfortable with our daily life, within it, no anxiety. We do what we do. We're used to it. And this person basically was telling us, look, just slightly expand that comfort zone. So you feel a little bit anxious. And when you've expanded that comfort zone and experienced it, your comfort zone has become bigger and you experience more. And I kind of input a little bit into my life of that. And it's made big changes for me. And everything I've wanted to do, not like a bucket list, I wouldn't go that far, but everything I've wanted to do, I've managed to tick that box. And that's from somebody who's quite shy, doesn't like to push themselves generally. I'm gradually ticking these boxes and expanding my knowledge and experiences as I go. And I know this is, as Trevor said, this is something we talk about quite a lot when we're out, and is important to us. And we want to inspire more people to basically look, go out and get it. If you want to be
we're not talking about like unreasonable things. Obviously, if you want to climb Kilimanjaro, like
good luck with that.
It makes me think of the Monty Python sketch, the Twin Peaks of Kilimanjaro. But
it makes me think of Alive, the film where you're eating people's buttocks.
The old buttock eating.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a sort of thing you drop in conversation very often, but it's quite apt that. But when Wayne was talking just now about that, I don't know about you guys, but you know when you're really dreading something, and when you're really dreading something and then you do it, and then there's that feeling afterwards of not euphoria, but thinking, I've done that. I've gone. There's nothing. I don't think there's another feeling in the world when you feel that accomplished, is there? I think it's great. I think that feeling at any age, you should still be able to. Yeah, I'm not saying about doing stuff that's not really out of your zone. As when we spoke about the training thing, about training every day of the week when you're 50, if you can do it, good luck to you. But realistically, people can't at 50. So I think when you look at it like that, just don't be scared to go and get what you want. I know we've just spoke a lot about it in the last 10 minutes, 5 minutes, but that was the idea of this podcast. And say, coming at your comfort zone a little bit, is because you never know what experience you're going to get from it and what you're going to enjoy out of it. You know, if you do, and I'm one of the, I love sitting around and watching films and TV. It's the biggest part of my life, I think. Sometimes.
We never would have guessed from the podcast, Trev. We never would have guessed that.
No. No. But again, now and again, and like I think as well, because you've had that taken away from you going out and experiencing different stuff, you miss it. You don't take anything for granted, which is what I think a lot of people do before what has happened has happened. And I think now people have got this, or hopefully they've got this feeling of like, I don't want it taken away from me. I want to go and do it now, you know? And hopefully you do see a surge of people really wanting to do the stuff they want to do.
Trevor's already explained, it's not about massive, great big leaps of faith that you're going to take and changing your life completely. Although, if that's what you want and you set that as a goal, then please do go for it and let us know how that's come out for you. Mm. But it's all about setting yourself small goals. If you want to, if you found yourself in any age really, but in, you know, particularly in your midlife, and you've had maybe a divorce behind you, or you know you've got a family that unfortunately has not worked out, and you've all gone your separate way, there's another life out there waiting for you. It's not the end. Get yourself out there, put yourself out there. There's plenty of other people in your situation. You can talk to, and talking to other people helps you to kind of understand your own situation and put it into perspective. And obviously,
I think as well, you're saying there, Wayne, I think the thing is, it's never been easier to communicate either.
Exactly.
Has it?
Yeah.
You know, you haven't got to just go to work or go out and talk. You can talk to people, and like, can you imagine what kind of mess it would have left if we wouldn't have had things like Zoom calls and all that.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's a difficult thing to sum up and to get right across, because we don't want to come across like we're forcing people or telling people, go and do this, otherwise your life will be a misery, because it's nothing about that. If you're happy with it, then, you know, you're happy with it.
And we know there's a lot of people, Trev, out there, isn't there? They've probably, they've done a lot more with their life than we have. We're not saying we're the best, but it's about what you're happy with within. What do you, you want? Don't make excuses for it.
Yeah, exactly. And don't complain about it.
Yeah.
Excuses and complain about it. Don't put it off, because it won't happen. People say it'll happen naturally. You'll meet your ultimate partner. But it won't. You've got to put yourself into situations where it needs a bit of a kickstart. You know, it that's the thing. It's that, and I think at this middle age thing, you either look at it two ways. You either kind of accept it and are happy with it, which is great, or you do think, actually, I kind of need to do that. I need to do that. You know, I think there's a lot to be learned from that. I really do.
It's good to have goals, but not all I can think of is Escape to Victory. I said that.
Yeah, but, Max von Sydow.
Yeah, exactly. Good goal. But I'm not going to go into some Nazi impression, because it just gets me in trouble every time.
Is that, yes.
It's about setting yourself goals, only small amounts of goals. But if you it's a bit like when you go to the gym, and we've spoke about this, challenging yourself. That's what you do to get better in the gym, to get bigger, to get stronger. You challenge yourself. So if one week you're lifting 10 kilos, the next week you might be able to do 12 and a half kilos, and you keep going. And that's what your life should be like. You should be going, oh, this week I can walk 5 miles. I'm going to try 5.5 miles. And setting yourself small goals, not going, oh, tomorrow I'm getting up and I'm going to do the London Marathon, because you're going to disappoint yourself and you're never going to leave the front door again, are you?
I think that's one of the hardest things, I think, with everything, because of the kind of world we live in. People, it seems, aren't as satisfied with smaller goals. It's always kind of like, you've only got this, and this is having a poke at advertising, but any kind of sport advertising, whether it be gym, whether it be golf, whether it be football boots, whatever, it's always like, I understand play your best and not be your best, but aim for your best. Don't be your best. Aim for it. I know it just makes you think of Yoda. Do not try.
I think it says a lot about us, about the examples we keep bringing up. Well,
try to be deep and meaningful, and then like Yoda
and Max von Sydow.
Those two people have probably never been mentioned in one sentence ever. Maybe in like a studio exec room, they were probably trying to cast Max von Sydow
as Christopher Jedi, Lee's
which
character,
which he was later on. But but they didn't say, well, can we get Yoda in there? Well, yeah, maybe. But no, that's what I'm saying. Everything's so gnarly and extreme. You know, there's no gradual anymore. I think that kind of extreme puts people off to a certain degree, because, you know, it's nice having goals that high and like achieve this, achieve that. But some of them are just unrealistic. So getting a bit nearer to your goals every now and again and gradually getting there is maybe a better route. I don't know. You know, perhaps we should, you know, if you've got any thoughts about the sort of psychology of it, by all means, leave us a message. And, you know, but I think if you push it too hard, there's a lot to be disappointed with.
Yeah, you're right. You've just summed up basically the society we live in. It's all about now. I want it now. Every quickness, you know, turn it around in 24 hours, do this, do that.
Yeah, don't
abs in, you know, two abs a day will make you strong, you know, whatever. 1 minute abs, 30 second abs, 10 second abs. It's just unrealistic. The same principles apply to everything over time. Set yourself realistic goals. If you're overweight and you want to do something about it, don't be put off by the fact that going to the gym might be a scary experience. Set yourself a goal to where you want to be in 1 year's time, and then slowly head that way. Put the plan in place to how you need to achieve that. And it'll be a lot easier than what you think. It won't be extreme. You won't have to starve yourself. You can do it gradually. And what happens is, as you see that change, I'm using this as an example, and it's probably a bit disingenuous, to be honest, because it's an easy one to choose. But as you see that change in you after 1 month, 2 months, you take photos, that inspires you to keep going. And you won't fall back on that. You'd have to have a big relapse to fall back. It's the big goals that you struggle with when you say, no, I'm going to stop that now. How can you realistically stop whatever you was doing that was bad to yourself?
Yeah.
You can't.
I know this is like a really stupid example, but
if I can relate to it, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This sounds absolutely ridiculous, but I actually do it. I love chocolate, I'll admit. I couldn't just go cold turkey on chocolate. I know people do, and they're like, not going to eat chocolate ever again. And you're like, why not? Because it's good. It's like,
just cut down on chocolate. Yeah.
This is that. I know, and don't get me wrong, it takes willpower, but you kind of, I actually cut up bars of chocolate and eat half a bit a day. And it sounds ridiculous, but I'm still getting that fix that I like, but I'm not going for excess. And don't get me wrong, it's not easy, like getting up in the morning and doing my food and cutting and putting another bit back in the fridge. It's like, oh, yeah. But it's a way of dealing with it, you know, because you don't want to be working so hard that you're so exhausted or you're so mentally in any way that you can't function for them other hours.
No.
You know, I think that's what society does. It pushes you to be the best. And that's all very good. But I think, especially at our age, you've got to consider that you still can't achieve all that sometimes. It sounds quite a negative way of looking at it, to be honest. But I think it's true.
No, I like the chocolate reference because... As I say, no, I like chocolate.
When I was talking about it, I thought this sounds really stupid.
No. But what you're showing there is you're in control of that. You're controlling it in a way where your brain can tell you, basically, yeah, you're allowing yourself some chocolate. It's not going to do any harm in the daily calorific intake at all.
No, exactly.
And you don't feel like you're going without. You're still having a slight bit of a fix. Doing cold turkey is not healthy in any way. The only time I've ever done that really was with smoking, and that's only because, I'm not being funny, smoking's not good, kids. Just don't do it in the first place. It was the worst thing I ever started. Yeah. You know, and I smoked for 25 years and I had to go cold turkey.
When
it's hard.
First sort of were knocking about, I don't remember you without a roll up in your hand.
Thanks for the Or JPS now and again. I wasn't always I nearly said that word from episode 3. I transgressed onto roll-ups and your fingers go, I mean, this is a few years back now, so I don't mind talking about it, but your fingers going yellow, you know, and you smell of smoke everywhere you go, you know, and I hated myself for it, but I was addicted to it. And I had to go cold turkey with that, but it was the hardest time of my life. But I knew when I turned 40, I had to stop smoking. And that's 10 years now. You know, shame I couldn't apply that to the drink, but I don't want to give up the drink. As Trevor can attest to.
I think that's, you're right there. I think the whole smoking trip, because I didn't smoke, and then...
You're going to blame me now, aren't you? You're going to sound like Mr. Nicotine at them 70s adverts.
When I first met my wife, she was smoking. Hot, obviously.
Yeah. Here he goes. Kudos points for the end of the season.
Anyway. And so everyone around me was smoking. So I smoked as well then. And I used to smoke before I went into work. So I'd stand out in our yard and I'd have a cigarette. And it'd make me feel awful. And I'd walk back in and my head would be giddy and I'd be like, enjoyed that. Like, no, you didn't. It just made you feel rough. So why, as you say, it's not like drinking or eating a little bit of chocolate, because it does feel great. You know, I think it's an image thing
as well, isn't it? I think you kind of saw it as part of the image
I honestly look back and I saw smoking as quite rock and roll and badass.
Yeah, it's just, you know, bad full stop.
it is bizarre like that, you know. But yeah, getting back off that subject, a little bit of something will always be good, but it is good that way. I don't think, as Wayne said, going cold turkey, it's such hard work. And I admire people that can do that, but it's just, dealing with that and the misery and stuff, you know, that the trouble is life is such a heartbreaker, because if people want to look that good, you've got to work so hard to get it.
Yeah.
Haven't you?
Yeah.
And I think when you get a bit older, that kind of little bit is enough. Is quite a good, sums it up to me.
Yeah.
It really does, because your body won't physically let you do what you really would want to be. So it's kind of, it's limiting you a bit. So you can't do, you know, the impossible. So if you've got the sort of the stabilizers on a bit, you know what you can do, and perhaps that should really keep you happy enough. I don't know. What do you think, Ryan?
I agree. It's difficult. You can't do everything. You don't, like, I'd love to be able to say, oh, let's go and have a kick around in the park at football. But I know I'd die. Basically, I would just die, you know, or break both my legs because I've got weak ankles from being too heavy, you know. And I can't do it. So there's things in life I can't do. Don't get me wrong. I could probably train for 6 months and get sort of semi-fit enough to play football down the park, but we'd look like a couple of complete plebs playing football in the park at 50 years old.
I think people would probably phone the police and get us picked up.
Yeah, exactly.
To be honest,
it wouldn't be a good place we'd find ourselves.
I think looking a pleb would be the least of our worries.
I was trying to be polite, but you're right. There's certain things. So, and obviously, as you get older, your goals change. Obviously, time, it sounds a bit morbid, but time becomes shorter. So it focuses the mind a bit more. It should focus the mind. You're not going to live forever. You are not going to live forever. So don't think that, you know, don't go without totally. You need a balance. It's about not living on your credit cards, but not also just saving up every single penny for the rest of your life and then being too old to spend any of it. You've got to get that balance right.
Again, without sounding morbid, we all end up in the same box.
That is morbid, man. That's like zombie creeping flesh morbid.
Yeah, unless someone does manage to reanimate bodies, then you could probably swap boxes with somebody else.
Noel Edmonds would be presenting that.
I never thought about that. He's because so many people get cremated now.
Yeah, that's
what's going to happen about zombies.
You had to bring that into this one, didn't you? Yeah. This was meant George A. Romero would never trust.
He would have been out of a. He wouldn't have made a film, would he?
It'd have to be some sort of spiritual thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you can't get bodies of ash. Just I want to eat.
Somebody
your
would
brain.
Try. Wes Anderson would try. Or
Wes Anderson would. Yeah. that's the truth. Like it's kind of, you can obviously train yourself, but see so many people kind of hit things so hardcore that they just give up, you know. And as Wayne says, you haven't got forever, and it's an awful thing when you're a kid. You just wish all your life away, didn't you?
Yeah,
you really do. You've got no kind of focus on the next day. You just honestly, there is, when you are a kid, it does feel like you could live.
Everything's
forever,
a new experience, Trev, isn't it? Everything's new when you're a kid, and that's why it's exciting. Yeah. You know, your first time you go, you know, you leave school, you go to the pub, or in them days you could. I don't think they do now, don't so much, do they? But
no, I don't think so. To be honest, it's kind of.
But everything, once you've lived all them experiences, everyone thinks it's not over. It's just about changing the philosophy of what experiences you're going to have.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's very true. And the thing is, I think we've mentioned on episodes before this, that life is catered now to kind of enjoy yourself throughout your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like back when we were kids, it seemed like, and it might not have been, but it seemed like that you reached a certain age and it was cardigan and slippers time.
Yeah, by now we should be like sitting in a rocking chair with a pipe.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. As you say, I can be one of the laziest people ever if I want to be, and I do like it like that. But, and again, you shouldn't let stuff stress you out so much either, really, should you, what you want to do? Because, again, it becomes a kind of hiccup for your own doing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, one minute you're wanting to do this and you're trying to cram so much in. I get a bit like that sometimes, where I try to cram so much in that
you frustrate yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. But what you said is spot on, Wayne, about the sort of balance.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Balance is the whole meaning
well,
of it.
Saying that as well, and what I must bring up in this, Trevor and myself obviously haven't got children. Obviously that means for the last 20, 30 years, however old your children are, we haven't had obviously that experience where you put somebody else ahead of yourself.
No.
We're quite selfish in a way, I would say, but not in an overall way. But, you know, I really respect parents because it's bloody hard work, you know, and you put basically that person ahead of yourself, feeding them, clothing them, paying for them. We understand that as well, that obviously when you have children, it changes your philosophy. But, you know, perhaps when you're the age we are now, if you're similar age to ourselves, you've still got things you can achieve now. Your children are grown up. You've had that great experience that Trevor and I would never have.
We've
never had that. So we're not trying to pretend we know everything. We know we've lived a different life. That was a conscious choice, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because we understand ourselves.
I think the thing is as well, as you say that, but you can only sort of live by your experiences. So as you say, we didn't have that. So we don't know any different. I think when people have got, you know, I can see the joy that it must bring. It is incredible. But if you haven't had that, it's difficult to put yourself in those shoes, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. I've touched on it, so to speak. We're obviously being with people that have had children. And I have now, we've got a 9-year-old, you know, that I've lived with for 3 years. But it's hard work being a parent. So you obviously, you haven't got, sometimes when you're parenting, you haven't got time to put yourself first. But we've all got, we should still have goals for ourselves. We shouldn't just settle, oh, we've had children. I sort of felt that before when I was going through a bit of a midlife crisis, if you like. Trevor will probably attest this when I still live near you and we used to go to the gym together. I was saying to you one time, I started thinking I was in my 40s and I was saying, oh, I think I've got to have kids.
I remember you saying that.
And I was questioning Trev, saying, what do you think about it? Surely you think about it. And he wasn't. He was happy. He said he knew himself enough to know, no, that's not for me. And I wasn't sure. I needed to go through that process to understand myself. And at the end of the day, I come to the conclusion, no, it's not important for me. I've made this decision a long time ago, probably, but I just needed to ask myself them questions to make sure I was fulfilling. I didn't want to feel unfulfilled when I'm on my deathbed, you know.
No, so I think you had the sort of problem where it was like leaving a sort of legacy.
Yes,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
You didn't. You were thinking, once I go, what's left?
Yeah.
But the way I look at that is, once you've gone, you've gone. So it doesn't matter, does it?
No, I know, but it's still, for some reason, it still winds me up. I'm thinking, who's going to end up with my motorbike or something? I don't know why. It shouldn't. You're right. You're totally right. But it still bothers me. And I thought you just have to, my philosophy, if we're going to get really philosophical, philosophy to me is you're born to procreate, to reproduce. That's what we're here for. But sometimes maybe we're just here to have an experience. And the most important thing is not just having children just for the sake of it. We've actually took time to think about it. I'm now happy with my decision that I haven't got my own children. And I know Trevor is.
I
really respect parents because I know how hard work it is. It really is hard work, and I really admire you for what you've done and what you're still doing, and you will do forever more, basically. It wasn't for us, so you know. But that aside, you've still got a life yourself that you need to fulfill.
Yeah, exactly.
All your prophecy, if you like.
You don't want to sort of this. It's the whole thing about enjoying. Getting as much out of it as you can, you know, just kind of enjoying it. Because you're always going to have time to sit and watch a TV. You're always going to, but there's key moments. And it is about building memories.
Yes.
Because there's only so many times you can go to work and talk about what was on TV last night. You know, the best stories are the experiences. People don't write books about Well, they probably do about what was on Netflix at one time.
Can find that on Amazon right now.
But, you know, when you're having the most, to me, when you're having a laugh and you're having a conversation with people, it's normally about an experience that you've had.
Yeah,
exactly. Rather than, you know, they make the most entertaining conversations.
Well, you don't remember the day in, the day out, do you? You can't remember. You can't tell me what you were doing on Tuesday of 4 weeks ago at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at work. But you can tell me
watching
where you
Jason
were.
The Argonauts.
You probably could, to be fair, because it's pretty obvious you were watching a 4K Blu-ray. But but all jokes to one side. But you could tell me in 1995 at that festival where you were, what you enjoyed and everything, because it's an experience, one that you did for yourself, not to just live or just to exist.
It weren't just providing.
Yes.
It wasn't just because you were taking time out for yourself.
Yeah.
That's what it is. If you can afford to do that, I mean, like money wise and time wise, then I think you should do it. I think, you know, you're going to look when I'm not saying you're going to lay back on your deathbed and look at that.
Especially as we're coming to the end, Trev, we want to end this on a high note, not with too many zombies and deathbeds going on. We're going to need Max von Sydow to exercise it in a minute.
That's the whole point of this episode.
Yeah.
Was to kind of to encourage people to do what we in looked at this podcast for.
Yes.
That we were getting to the point where we had an opportunity to do it because we had a bit of spare time on our hands. And the pair of us always got stuff to do, haven't we? I haven't been bored for years because I just kind of find ways to entertain myself. And it's normally in a small dark room. But no,
I'm thinking of that film with Robin Williams now when he works in the camera shop. I don't know why I thought that one.
Yeah, 1 hour photo.
Yeah, that one.
That's quite good.
Yeah, it is.
But that's the whole thing. And you just thought, well, if you're not going to do it now, you're not going to get this time again. So seizing opportunities.
Yes,
is a good summing up. I think. Yeah. I don't know.
Live your midlife or any life less ordinary. And say that, that Trev's right, where he summed up at first. The podcast was meant to be, we wanted to just basically say, these are all things you can get up to in your midlife. But what's actually what we've actually learned is, actually, that midlife is ours. And we want to be less ordinary because Trev for certain definitely couldn't be described as ordinary, but not in a strange way. It's just, and we want to inspire others. So we're going to get as many people as we can to join us on this journey and talk to you guys. And it might seem some of these subjects or whatever to you might feel like, oh no, I'd never do that. But give it a listen. And as I say, when we're talking to various people that might be an artist, for example, it's not about taking up art. It's about maybe going and viewing your local art, showing and enjoying it. Yeah. And then actually you might make some friends there. It's inspiring. And most of these things, you know, we've had a go out or we've spoke to people and I found something from all of them. So we've done some of these interviews now and, I found them really interesting because, as I say, it's not something, you should always find something you don't do yourself quite interesting. At least give it a listen, shouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? It makes you not a rounder person, because otherwise
you're going back to the earlier discussion. Yeah, give up the chocolate.
I'll eat the whole of the chocolate, just half of it. But I think people that know I can talk for England.
And Ireland.
One of the reasons being is you talk to people, find out a bit about, there's always, a lot of the time when I speak to anybody, even if it's about something that I don't know a lot about, I normally know a little bit. So you can talk on their level a bit. I think if you shut your mind, if you shut off to all of it, any kind of experience, you're just going to be the same. I think it is just about kind of taking bits out of the whole journey and putting it together on the road, if that makes sense.
I think you summed it up really nicely there with something you said when you said, like, knowing a bit about everything so you can relate to many people. Really important, yeah. Because interaction with people is nothing better than that. And Trev's right. And I look at it from a slightly different aspect. Trev's just really social anyway, as you all know, some of you will know and some of you might find out. But I'm less so. But my job, you know, working in sales and visiting people, I could just look at it that, and some sales people are, and Trev and myself have met many people like this that just bore you to tears, who come around, all they know about is their subject of work and that's it.
Yeah.
But when you
one-dimensional
people, yeah, they're not interesting. Yeah. But my customers, for example, that I visit, I'd hate them to think that of me. And a lot of the time you turn up and you're talking about football, movies, sport, whatever the subject is, and it's good that you know that, because, and I'm not doing this on purpose, you can build an affinity with people that transcends work, and you're friends with them, and these people think a lot more of you, and that is better for my well-being to know that people think that of me, rather than just some sales guy that's just trying to make money out of them or something.
Yeah you're just a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, a caricature.
And I think that's the whole thing about technology, is it's easy to communicate via email, and it's all very convenient, great, but we're going to lose those skills.
Yes,
if we still don't interact.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, that's the whole thing. It's going to become a very sterile world. Yeah. You know, I know there's been some really great science fiction and that about that, and if we're not careful, it will come true.
Yeah. Especially after this time we've had, where people become less social. So it's going to be easier for us to make excuses. I'm not going down the pub. I'm going to sit at home with my can of Stella. And I don't know why I brought that one up. But and enjoy myself. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. You know, I can see the benefits of it. But it's about balance. Everything, like Trev said earlier, yoga and everything. It's about balance. So to sum up, Trev. Like, we're not going to have a test, Trevor, because I think the subject, even though we've gone off it a couple of times, but just to sum up, instead of test Trev, I'm going to say to you, what are you going to do different? What are you going to try and set your comfort zone at? What do you want to achieve moving forward? Maybe the next year?
Really no, to be honest.
I'm glad you've given it a lot of thought.
Yeah, I've had about half an hour to think about it. I think not take things for granted.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Not because it can be taken away from you, like it has been. And don't get me wrong, it was great. It was a novelty at the start. It was like nice having a break from it all, and really appreciate. And I loved it at the start, but all of a sudden, you become very insular. And maybe that's just my character, but no, I don't want to take anything for granted anymore.
That's really cool. I think that's really rewarding, Trev. I think if that's the case and that's setting yourself that goal, I think that will reward you tenfold moving forward.
Yeah, I'd like to think it would do. Yes. What about yourself?
Now you've put me off. What didn't I think about it?
Well, if you're going to do it to me, I'll do it to you.
Okay. No, all jokes to one side. I've got actually, what I want to do is make sure that after the time we've had just now, that this year is a very social one. We get back to normality with a bit, you know, and make sure that I'm happy to go out and enjoy these big festivals that we've spoken about on some of the podcasts, the gigs, get back some normality, and also expand on some of the things that I've sort of touching on where I've gone, for example, I bought a boat. I'm lucky enough to have a boat, which is nice, in the marina. I haven't got a clue how to really use the thing. I mean, people say, can you turn up, come meet you at West Mersey Marina? And I'm like, how do I get there? It's not like a TomTom where it goes turn. I'm like, I've tried it and I got lost in the North Sea somewhere. You know, it's just, you know, I need to learn a bit more about that. So, I mean, it sounds like a very strange goal to have, but I shouldn't be taking, like Trev said, I need to not take that for granted, having a boat. I mean, it's cool to go down the marina, sit on it with a can or a glass of wine and quaff some, you know, some sandwiches and everything else and sit there.
In other words, you're using it as like
a holiday home that's about 10 minutes from my house, but it's exactly. Ridiculous. But you know, things like that, I want to enjoy the things that I already have, and I think that's testament to true, like not take things for granted. I think that's a really good one to end with, I believe.
Yeah, and very quickly as well, it sounded like it's been quite a serious podcast. In a way it has, but just to lighten the mood, we've spoke about a Russian guy quite a bit, haven't we?
I can't think who you mean. It's a, yeah, a particular...
I think you know who I mean.
Yes, I do know who you mean.
We've managed to track him down, and we've done a little interview with him. And it's only a short interview, because he didn't really want to kind of advertise the fact that he was available all the time. But we have managed to track him down. So once we've finished this, we will actually play the little interview as a little warm-up to the next season.
And it's somebody I've mentioned a few times throughout the podcast, and his name is Eugene Nikobolikov.
That's the Russian dissident. We've managed to track him down, and we've got a short little interview we'll play after this summing up. Just to lighten the mood.
Just to lighten it, yes. Please don't take this podcast as, you know, this, as I say, we're summing up the Midlife Less Ordinary. We want to, we like to have the fun we have with all you listeners as well, interacting and everything. But we also want to show, you know, there is a serious tone somewhere about enjoying life. So go out there, live your Midlife Less Ordinary or whatever life it is you're living. Enjoy Eugene Nikobolikov. Yeah.
Thank you.
Cheers, everyone. We'll see you in season two. Cheers.
See you then. Season two. Hello, as promised, we've managed to find our interviewee tonight. It's a guy that we spoke a lot about. He's live from Russia by telephone. So bear with us, because obviously sometimes the telephone system in Russia isn't that great. And I know he's in a secret location at the moment. Good evening, Mr. Nikobolikov. Can I call you Eugene, or is it Nikobolikov?
Sorry.
Is it Eugene, or is it Mr. Nikobolikov? How would you like to be known?
Nikobolikov.
Thank you. Wayne, would you like to ask Mr. Nikobolikov a little bit of background, please?
I certainly will. And Mr. Nikobolikov, is it true that you were found on a Russian dating site known as The Spy Who Loves You?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Anything you don't feel comfortable on with, Mr. Nikobolikov, obviously just a yes or no, or how in Russian you want to say it.
Please call me Eugene.
Eugene. I feel a lot more comfortable calling you Eugene, I must admit. I feel a lot more comfortable. Back to the dating site very quickly, just something. Did you find love on this dating site, Eugene?
Very much.
Very much love. Very much love. Obviously a popular guy. Obviously a very popular guy. Wayne.
I have a lot to offer.
Sorry, the line was bad. Sorry.
Eugene. I have a lot to offer.
Yes, that's what we've heard. What the next question we'd like to ask you. We've heard that, obviously, this is sensitive information and why you're in hiding, is that you're ex-KGB and you're a dissident now. You're opposing the regime in Russia because of what happened at Chernobyl. Is that, can you confirm or deny that, Eugene?
Yes.
It's true.
It's true.
Very true.
Right. Because we have, obviously, we don't really kind of want to push you on the sensitive matter of having three testicles. Do you believe that the three testicles is linked to the Chernobyl incident?
It's very possible.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Did you very quickly as well? I know I keep saying about this dating site because we did find it quite interesting tracking you down. Do you think that having three testicles has made you more popular on that dating site? Did you tell the ladies? I'm saying it's ladies. You might have been looking for other people. Did it make you feel that had something extra to give?
Please, Trevor, don't ask Eugene that question. Russians are very militant in this fashion,
sorry,
I believe.
Sorry, perhaps I'm perhaps I'm just going a bit too far. I apologize, Eugene. I really do.
Can I ask though, Eugene, if we're still allowed to call you that, obviously, is having an extra testicle from a scientific point of view, because I'm interested in this type of thing, does that mean you have more testosterone?
It is certainly true, yes.
You sound very masculine, to be honest. You sound like
Very,
you know, you couldn't ask for a more masculine man than you, definitely, just from your voice. I'm not, you know,
thank
I mean that,
much.
That's from the bottom of my heart. I'm not blowing smoke.
Thank you.
Have you found Eugene that through your testosterone, you become more hairy, or is that?
This is very true. Very hairy.
I'm glad you've agreed to this interview, because we have mentioned you often, and some of our listeners were quite interested in the background. Have you taken any steps to have the testicle removed? Does it make you feel uncomfortable? Do you sit properly? Can you sit down in any kind of chair? Is it?
How I sit is nothing to do with you.
Right. See, again, I'm pushing it too far. I apologise. I really do.
If you listen to the podcast generally, Eugene, you would know that Trevor's often dropping himself in it. It's just obviously we don't usually have ex-KGB, and he doesn't mean to do it. I can promise you that. He's a good man, Trevor.
Yes.
So please don't take offence with anything he says.
I'll be the judge of that.
Oh, dear. Yeah. See, the thing is, with the nations of the UK and the Russian nation, obviously our cultural differences are very wide apart. Do you wear tightish trousers? Is that allowed in Russia? I'm going over it, Tom. I just can't get past the novelty factor. I apologise. I really do.
I think before we offend you, Eugene, as you can see, Eugene prefers the my technique than you in this matter.
I shall step back.
I'm just a bit worried. I mean, can I just ask you, Eugene, is there any chance that you may be going umbrella shopping anytime soon?
Just wait.
Oh, dear.
I'm just hoping that the weather stays good now. And because I walk to work, so I'm an easy target. Yeah, to be honest, I really am.
I'd keep a lookout if I were you, but definitely. But it's, as you know, to wrap up this, I mean, you've been very informative, Eugene. Thank you for joining us, as Trev said. Is there any words you'd like to say to the midlife less ordinary audience out there?
I have enjoyed podcasts very much.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Thank you. It's very good.
Thank you. It really means a lot. Maybe we could do a follow-up on how you and your... I don't know how to put it in. I don't want to
gonad.
Put it in
my trailer. Gonad,
is that a word?
Gonad, yeah, sorry.
Gonad is follow-up. Yeah, maybe we can do a follow-up on the gonad, extra gonad.
Yes.
Moving forward. But we'll keep in touch, not on the Spy Who Loves You, obviously, but we'll keep in touch moving forward. Thank you for joining us, Eugene. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Eugene. Thank you, Mr. Nikobolikov.
Good. Dos vidanya.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please leave a rating and review and visit our website at www.amlopodcast.com to check out all the links and resources in the show notes. Start living them good times. See you next time.